Hey, Wham Bam Powers, Cameron here. And it is Max Fun Drive 2015. It's the one time every year, 2 weeks, when we ask you to please support the show that you love, the work that we do. We make all of our money for doing this show on your donations. It is so helpful, important, and we love to hear from you. So I want to please encourage you to donate to the Max Fun Drive. You'll hear more about it throughout this episode. I wasn't able to make it this week, but Rhea and Ricky, of course, are wonderful. And part of the reason that I haven't been able to make it a couple times lately is because I am ramping up another spring tour. So I will be in Sacramento this weekend, March 19th to 21st, with Rhea. Rhea will be there with me. And then on April 1st, I will be in Iowa City. So all of that information is at CameronEsposito.com/shows. So many of you come out to see Rhea and I on the road, and it really means a lot. So thank you for your support in the Max Fun Drive and also at live shows. Please enjoy this episode. Hello and welcome to Wham Bam Pow. I am the Lady James Dean, a.k.a. Pamplemousse, a.k.a. temporary host of Wham Bam Pow, Rhea Butcher. That is me, who you're listening to. And you're listening to Wham Bam Pow. This is a movie show, a podcast about movies. We talk about sci-fi and action flicks. We love to call them dick flicks around here. We just chat about it. And who am I going to be chatting with tonight, today? Midday, morning, whenever you're listening to this, Mr. Coco Palau himself, Ricky Carmona. Ricky Carmona, how are you doing?
What it do, people? We got the Pamplemousse in the house up in this bitch. I'm up in this bitch. You're all up in it. Hello, everyone. How you doing?
So we were just talking about a movie that you recently hollered at again.
I did. I like to go back and holler at movies. I treated myself, actually. I hollered at myself, if we're going to be honest.
Yeah.
I just got this bug. I needed to watch The 25th Hour.
All right.
And I needed to watch it right then and there.
Hey, I totally understand that bug and have had it, have been struck down with the 25th Hour bug. A couple things to mention up top. We are going to have our first live show next Monday. The 23rd of March at 11 p.m. is going to be at the Upright Citizens Brigade, OG, the Franklin Avenue one, right across the street from the Celebrity Center.
El Original.
Exactly. El Supermercado.
Sí.
Gelson's.
La Bodega Gelson's.
Tres Oaks. Los Trakes. That doesn't make any sense. Anyway, so we're going to have our live show. $5, 11 p.m. Me, Cameron Esposito, Ricky Carmona, talking about movie stuff. It's going to be so great. You guys should please, please come out so that we can do this again and have a ton of fun.
You think we want to do just one? No.
We do not.
No, we want to do several.
We do not. And then just one quick shout out. Cameron and I are going to be in Sacramento, California at the Punchline, the 19th through the 21st. So you guys come on out and see some shows, because we're going to have a bunch of shows. And on this show that we're currently talking on, speaking within, from amongst this show,
giving it to you,
we are going to give you a review of 1987's beautiful, lovely film, RoboCop, coming up later. It's available on Netflix, Watch Instant, so you can catch it on there. And you know what? You should have seen this movie by now.
Come on now.
Because we're going to spoil it. We're just going to talk about it.
Yep.
So watch out for that. So watch the movie, then listen to the rest of the review, and we'll be right back with some news, reviews, and things you can use. All right, we're back with some lovely news, reviews, and things you can use. Mm. Mostly news on this one. Mostly things you can use, not so much reviews. This has been a sort of like unfolding drama on our podcast of late, because it's a little dry in the movie news. I don't know if you guys have noticed. It's mostly Age of Ultron that's happening, and I don't think you guys want us to talk about posters on a
They got a poster of his
podcast.
Booty today.
We got to
today.
See that
old Tron booty.
Because I'm all about that booty.
He's got no strings on his booty. Oh, anyway, good Lord.
I want a piece of that dookie booty. All right.
So that more about the female Ghostbusters.
Okay.
I'm just glad they're not calling them the Bustettes as of yet. Bustels. Paul Feig was
I don't know how you pronounce his name.
Feig.
All right.
He was interviewed by some media outlet. I can never tell the source because things just get like tumblogged over and over again. And then you're like, I don't know where this is from.
This came from Captain Pancakes.
Exactly. Boing, boing. At flippityduda.net.
Oh, yes. Investigative journalism.
But I do like what he said about, you know, he's saying that there's all the misogynist stuff is coming out of the woodwork. And the fact that he's going to ruin a bunch of people's childhoods is going to be, like, chiseled into Paul Feig's tombstone. Mm-hmm. So I do like that he's talking about it. But I just thought I would read this quote from him about making movies with women. He said, because there are women in it, but it's not about all my lady problems, but they're not acting like men. They're acting like women would. I love the theme of female friendship. I've seen it with my wife and how important and difficult it is. So I enjoy that. To me, that's more interesting than trying to work out a relationship with a man. There are plenty of those movies being made, so I don't have any interest in doing them. I think him just saying there are plenty of those movies being made is like a really important statement.
Absolutely.
Like, of course, in the purity of a feminist argument that's supposed to come out of my mouth and say, like, well, a woman should be making it. I feel that way. More women should be able to make movies. But we're not there yet. So I'm glad that somebody is making movies about women and trying to have the perspective of women in those movies and make something that he's interested in and that is not just about the male view of female relationships, but rather female relationships for males to view it. You know?
Absolutely. I think that would be great.
Yeah.
Did he direct, I can't think of it. Did he direct Bridesmaids?
Yes. That's like the big.
Yeah. And I thought that was a great example specifically of that. Like
exactly.
When I was watching it, I wasn't like, oh, this is like the Hangover version of like Bridesmaids. I was just like, I feel like this is how women are with each other.
Oh yeah, for sure. I mean.
And I want that for all that I don't want a Ghostbusters, I still want to, if I'm getting an all-female Ghostbusters, I don't want to see, I mean, was he saying that in regards to, like, he's not going to make a movie where it's, like, them trying to hook up with, like, dudes in it? Because
he was just saying that in regards
I don't
to, like,
want that.
Why do you make movies about or with women all the time?
Oh,
which
man.
Is crazy.
Oh, boy.
That's, like, even a thing.
Yeah.
But it is a thing. You know? It's like super weird that you're like, why would you do this? But also there's the tone of like, oh, why would you do this?
Yeah, for sure.
But
absolutely.
I mean, it is crazy to me. It's crazy to me that people ask, well, why do you make black movies?
Mm-hmm.
Like, well, it's just a movie with black people in it.
Yeah.
And so it's still just a movie. But we're so...
Sometimes I've been
it's
going
so crazy to me that
it is
like
crazy. It's
we
insane.
Will absolutely accept a movie that has like a grown man with long blonde hair that carries around a hammer that he throws and wears like a leather skirt and a dude in a like a knight's thing that he made in his basement, like all this stuff. Yeah, 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 yeah. Totally,
yeah.
I'll accept that. Four women fighting ghosts? Please. I've seen it before, and I'm not going to see it again unless it's with men. Like, how is that? Oh, it's so bizarre to me.
It's insane. And I used to try and, I mean, sometimes like, I've been in this phase lately where I don't even, like, want to answer the question. Like my people are dope. And it's 2015, and if you haven't figured that shit out by now, I don't know what to tell you.
Yeah.
But this movie is gonna get made,
right?
You know, so you either like better catch up and figure it out, or get out of the way because that dude behind you, he wants a ticket.
Yeah,
so move.
I feel like
you know?
The first person that takes the quote unquote risk. Now, I don't think it's a risk, but the studios and the whole system would think that this is a risk. When the first like. You know, Midas touched director decides like, I'm going to make a tentpole movie starring a Latino or Latina actor. And this is what I'm going to do. And then the box office explodes because it's like the highest. I mean, that's one of the biggest populations that goes to movies.
Yeah.
And then people are like, oh, I didn't realize that there were so many Latino people going to movies. And then, you know, it's like, why wouldn't you do that? There are so many Latino people in this country. There are so many women in this country. There's so many Latina women in this country. There are so many black women in this country. And we all want to see everybody's stories.
Do we? There's somebody out there who don't know. Somebody out there who don't. It's because it's very safe to be like, yeah, we could do that, or we could give you this. You saw this before. Remember when you liked this?
You liked it before.
Remember when you liked this? We got more of it. We got more of it.
Yeah, exactly.
Why you gonna take that risk over there? That's risky. Ooh.
What if How about a risky business reboot?
Starring all...
Oscar... God, I can't think of his last name. The actor from The Office. Is his name Oscar Nunez? Is that just his character's name? It's confusing because they used his real... Anyway,
I didn't watch I haven't seen The American Office. Everybody relax. Back off.
It's going to be fine.
Thank you.
I think only the first four seasons are worth watching. No one kill me, please.
Put the gun down. I'm ready for you to blow.
So, speaking... Basically, all we ever talk about is, like, reboots and sequels on the show.
Let's talk about something.
Which is, like, why we can't do Pitch It anymore, because they're all coming true.
Yeah, exactly.
So, like, we can't even write Pitch It's because... Mallrats 2 is going to happen.
Oh, I just thought of some movie news. So I don't forget.
But this movie news, Mallrats 2 is happening.
Mm-hmm.
How do you feel about that?
I never saw the first Mallrats.
Okay.
Kevin Smith movies, it's like, I don't hate them, but there's just the way people talk about them. I'm like, okay, well, then I'm not going to bother with
that.
And I heard Mallrats is terrible, so it's like...
Oh, really?
I've heard it's really
bad. I was going to say it's his best movie.
Really?
I think, but this is all opinion.
Okay.
A lot of people think Chasing Amy is his best movie.
I enjoy Chasing Amy.
I am personally offended by Chasing Amy.
Really?
I wonder why.
I wonder why.
I mean, there are some great moments in that movie. Mm-hmm. I still, to this day, I can't even quote it on this podcast because it's a visual joke when Jason Lee realizes they're in a lesbian bar and just starts, like, clapping. It's one of my favorite moments.
It's been so long since I've seen it. Like, I don't remember. Like, I remember that as soon as you said it.
Yeah.
All I remember from that movie is when they were doing, like, they're at the Comic-Con or whatever it is.
Sure.
And the black, or he's like, he keeps asking the black dude, like, what is, does he say, what is black power? She says some shit where I was like, that's fucking funny.
Yeah. And then his reveal. And then he's not yet.
Yeah, that's great.
Mallrats is where, like, all of his goofy, stupid, inside jokes, weirdness just all clicks together.
Okay.
I feel like, and it's the one where Jay and Silent Bob make the most sense. I don't know. If you're, like, a purist, you like Clerks, but I've seen Mallrats the most times and still quote it to this day. And I was trashy growing up, so it makes sense that I would really like Mallrats. But I just don't, I can't, Clerks 2 was a crazy movie. And I cannot believe that it happened. And I cannot believe that they're making a Mallrats 2. So I just think he's going to keep making sequels of his movies because, I mean, he's made new stuff. It just doesn't really take off.
Yeah. I mean, he's, like, for as much shit as people give Kevin Smith, though, I mean, he really does follow, like, the independent format. Like, I want to make the movies I want.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, when I want to make a sequel of mine, I'm going to do it.
Yeah, I mean,
or when I want to do some original shit, I'm going to do it. Like, he... Tusk, Red State.
Did you see either of those movies?
I saw Red State.
Okay.
Red State actually starts off really great.
Yeah.
And then it really, for me, it fell apart in like the third act.
Sure.
I was just like, what just happened? No, don't do that.
I feel like his movies tend to have third act problems. I mean, Mallrats definitely has third act problems. I mean, it doesn't make any sense.
I remember Chasing Amy having a third act problem, actually. I was like, oh, I don't know if I like that.
I mean, there's a love... montage in Chasing Amy.
Is there?
She can't get the lighter to work and he like blows on the lighter and then it cuts to them like on swings talking to each other and then he like hands her the lighter and it works. It's like, I kind of can't believe he put that in there. But you know, it is what it is. I do feel like I haven't seen Chasing Amy in probably 10 years. So it's worth a rewatch at this point.
Revisit it.
More I hate it now. but I'm not excited about Mallrats 2. I finally watched the Fury Road trailer, or the second one.
There's a new one.
There's a second one.
Okay.
I don't know when it came out because I'm really behind in trailers.
All right.
Sorry, guys. No. I watched that in the new Inside Out trailer, and I cannot wait for Inside Out.
But which one is Inside Out?
That's the new Pixar movie.
Ah, okay.
With Amy Poehler.
Gotcha. And this is a new trailer to that as well.
A new trailer to that as well. Sorry.
Okay. No, it's all right.
Let me write it on the whiteboard. Let me beautiful mind for a second.
Thank you.
But that Mad Max trailer, like everyone is saying, looks pretty great.
I mean, right?
I'm going to see that thing in 3D.
That movie looks insane.
Also, I will say this about that movie. Even if it is terrible, mm-hmm. if I get to see those action sequences that I just saw in the trailer in 3D, possibly in IMAX, I will be happy.
Oh, absolutely.
Because, like, even just that trailer was like, well, that was fun.
Yeah.
So
oh, yeah.
I'll sit through a shitty movie just to see those all that those explosions and those, like, dust storms.
So, yeah, those, like, fire dust storms.
Yeah.
Like, those cars with, like, the swinging poles on them with, like, guys at the end of them. And they're all going, like, at breakneck goddamn speed.
And I could not stop thinking the entire time that these dudes and women are doing these crazy, not the stunt, like in the world of the film, they're driving these cars through these crazy storms and chasing after people and jumping off of things and putting these helmets on and doing all this stuff, and they have no hydration. They're so dry.
Right.
I just kept thinking, like, man, I couldn't do this with Gatorade, and they've got nothing.
They got nothing.
How can they muster the strength to do it?
That movie looks dope. Like, Mad Max, that Fury Road, and like the Avengers sequel, Star Wars, those are like the three right off the top. But Mad Max is like the one where I was like, man, where did you come from?
Yeah.
I had no idea.
That is the first movie that I'm like actually looking forward to.
Yeah?
There's been nothing. I mean, I'll go see Avengers, of course.
Mm-hmm.
Looking forward to it, kind of. I'm just not that. But Mad Max is the first one where I'm like, oh. My butt is going to be in the seat for that.
Shit, and also, no disrespect, Fast Furious 7, that one, I didn't mean to exclude that. I am all over that.
All right, okay.
The car jumps from one building to the other building, like 48 stories high. They're, they're like on the top floor up there. Boom!
So
I am
did they
all
really
in
do
on that,
that
movie. I hope so. I hope so.
So what was your movie news, Ricky?
I just saw they're doing the Richard Pryor movie.
Yes.
And Mike Epps is playing Richard Pryor. That's all I knew. And full disclosure,
I think you should have been cast as Richard Pryor. Because in that picture of you in front of Roscoe's Chicken and Waffles where you have a tuxedo on and your bow tie is undone.
Yes.
You look like Richard Pryor. It's insane. It's insane to me that nobody found you through that. And I was like, we got to cast this guy. He looks like Richard Pryor.
I was ready to go.
I mean, when you have a mustache and a full fro, you look like, and a suit on, you look like Richard Pryor.
I have heard these things. I would have done it. I didn't get the call.
I know.
You know, I had my pager on me and everything.
God.
Never blew up.
And 1998 didn't call?
1998 did not. Put in the 911 in there. I didn't get my code.
Did I ever tell you that I had a pager and I got it for free from Mountain Dew?
Yeah, you know
you
did not.
Did you guys know that I had a pager from Mountain Dew and I really wanted a pager chain? But my mom wouldn't let me have one because she thought it was too, like, whatever.
Oh, that's great.
Too tough or something.
Pagers.
I used to ride my bike around in a circle with a pager on and my way too big jeans and my braided leather belt.
Yes.
You know, that style. And then, like, a rugby polo. Anyway. That I got from like Ames or Hills or something.
I don't know.
If somebody listens to this and is like, oh my God, I shopped at Hills, please tweet that at me. I don't want to feel like I'm the only person that shopped at a place that pants were $10. Anyway, your news.
That sounds like a deal. If I may say so.
Hopefully,
tweet at us if they're still open because I like,
like
I need some new
pants.
Jeans, yo. I need some new jeans.
River Canyon Blues. Anyway.
Mike Epps is playing Richard Pryor, and I just, man, like, I didn't see who the cast was. Oprah Winfrey is playing Richard Pryor's mom. Kate Hudson, is that right? I think Kate Winslet? Kate somebody.
Two different Kates.
Two different
Very
Kates.
Very different Kates.
Man, I wish I could remember
what it was. Is it Kate Hudson reprising her role Penny Lane from, that would be great. If she just, like, if it was a crossover.
I mean, it I wouldn't put Richard, but she's playing Richard's wife. And then Eddie Murphy just got cast.
I think it's probably Kate Hudson, actually. Just based off of what you're telling me.
Yeah?
I think it's probably Kate Hudson.
I'm going to look it up when we go to break and confirm.
Okay, we'll come back with that.
Eddie Murphy just got cast as Richard Pryor's father.
That's crazy.
I mean, guess who is interested again? Hello, Richard Pryor.
I mean, definitely interested again.
Yeah.
And also, how do you think Eddie honestly feels about having to play his dad now?
I think he's okay with that.
Yeah?
Yeah, I think so.
I feel like, here's the thing. If I was cast as Ellen DeGeneres' mother, I would be like, oof. I'll take it, but oof. I would be bummed.
I am going on complete. I do not know Eddie Murphy personally at all. But I will say, I mean, he loves Richard. That's his god.
Yeah, I
think he...
Funny.
It's amazing. No, I'm
being
feel
silly.
I dig you. We are a comedy show.
We try.
And I think just using Dreamgirls as an example, like the dude, he can do everything. He's a comedic genius and he's an amazing dramatic actor. And I think this is going to be another one where he's like, you guys think I'm fucking around?
I feel like he's probably going to get an Oscar for this one.
I doubt it.
We'll see.
I doubt it.
I'm putting money on it. This fake money in a podcast. So I guess the last news roundup thing. So you guys know that we don't know a lot about comic books, and we apologize.
Don't know much about comic books.
We apologize a lot. So there's a Suicide Squad movie that is happening now, which, Ricky, you have informed me is all villains mostly.
Now let me also
that
state...
all about villains.
This is all, I think, it's a super group of villains.
Okay, and they have cast their Joker, which is...
Your boy?
Wah, wah, Jared Leto. I don't know about this one. I don't know. I mean,
I don't know.
Yeah, this stuff is just, I mean... We're just going to keep saying this on this podcast, like, why? Or we could be like, well, I don't know. I don't like that guy, like, at all. And I really like the Joker. I really like the Joker as a character.
Yeah.
And, I mean, I'm sure he'll do a great job. Ugh. And then everybody will be like, look at how great he is again.
He's purple.
Like Heath Ledger again. But, man, I don't like his attitude.
Okay.
I don't feel like he walks with the Joker, if you know what I mean.
I do.
And so I just don't trust it.
Yeah. It's a David Ayer joint. That doesn't get my full
Ayer.
he can be hit or miss. Or actually, is it David Ayer who is hit or miss with me? Or David Goyer? See?
I think David Goyer is hit or miss.
I don't want to, like, disrespect. You know what? Out of respect, not to disrespect, I'm going to recant my shit.
All right.
I ain't going to call out either one of y'all.
Too many Daves. But Dave, great movie.
Love me, Dave. Sigourney and Dave? Come on now.
Beautiful stuff.
Kills
also,
it.
Gandhi in Dave is really good. I'm not calling names very much.
Ben Kingsley. Sir
Ben Kingsley. So good in Dave. Also, we'll be right back. With a year in review, which is like a new segment that I'm going to try out tonight. And you guys, let's see if you like it. So we'll be back with a year in review after this. Oh my God, you guys. It's our favorite time of year.
What time is it?
It's Max Fun Pledge Drive time. And if you guys are new to this network or old to this network or middle... Yeah. Middle age to
Sometimes
this network.
You leave and then you come back. Like, let me see what's going on with them.
Back.
You came back at the right time.
Yeah, you might not know or you might already know that Maximum Fun is a listener supported network. Mm-hmm. And the Max Fun Drive happens once a year. We only ask you to do this once a year because we love you.
One
time. We know
time.
That you love us. And it's our best shows of the year that you get.
Mm-hmm.
It's our best work. It's a celebration of all things Maximum Fun and the best time to sign on as a member, or if you're already a member, upgrade your membership. And why should people donate?
Well,
to Wham Bam Pow specifically, Ricky?
I mean, our show, Wham Bam Pow, we holler about movies. We go to the movies. We watch movies on Netflix.
Yes, we do.
These are all things that cost... That sweet green paper.
That sweet green paper, which is not candy paper.
it ain't candy, yo. No. It ain't candy. It's that cream. You know what I mean? So
it's money.
It's money.
Ricky is saying money.
What I'm saying is money. It's dinero. It's money.
It costs money.
Yes. And since this is a listener supported network, this is when we ask for your donations to keep the show going. So we kindly ask for your support. We love going to the movies.
Yeah.
We love having that Netflix.
We love making the show for you.
I mean, it's my favorite thing to do.
And you know what will happen if you give money specifically to Maximum Fun for Wham and Pal? You will feel awesome every time you listen to our show because you'll be like, I made that show.
That's right. Whoever you're listening to it with, you look at them and be like, you hear that? That's me, yo.
I made that
That's
show.
That's me.
I helped make that show.
And she got a pamplemousse because of me.
It's all because of me. And we're trying to reach our new goal of 2,000 new and upgrading members. One of those 2,000.
And I think that is, I think we can do that. I think we can do 2,000.
Yeah.
I feel good about that. I feel real about that.
We can hit that.
No doubt.
We can hit that.
We can get
all up in it. All up in that 2,000 new members. And if you pledge, you will get a great pledge gift.
You get.
We're not going to tell you what they are right now.
This isn't a selfish act either.
No,
you will get something in return.
You'll get stuff.
You get stuff.
You get stuff and stuff that you'll like.
That's right. Or what'd you say? You like stuff? You gonna get it.
You will get that stuff. You give us that paper.
That's
you
right.
You will get that stuff.
That's right.
So you might wonder, how do I donate? It's super easy. You go to MaximumFun.org and click on donate.
Okay.
You select the membership level that is right for you. There's some golden eagles.
Mm.
There's some silver angels.
Okay.
Those are the big time ones.
All right.
Then there's smaller ones. You can also pick how much you want to donate. But if you want to get those gifts, you do a gift one.
You
click on one of those gift ones.
Get that golden eagle.
Yeah, there's wide ranges. But there's $10, $20, and $35 monthly levels. I mean, that is like a gym membership. What if you're going to the gym and you listen to our show when you go to the gym? Just go on ahead and pay another gym membership to us.
Boom.
So we can give you your gym show.
That's right. And if you're doing all that, shout out to your multitasking ass
yes.
as well. You're handling it well done.
If you can
done.
Listen to us complain about sexism,
That's
misogyny,
right. That's right.
racism, homophobia
yep.
in movies, and stay on the treadmill.
While burning calories?
You are a good person.
Oh, you are one of the chosen people.
And you're an even better person if you donate to this show.
You're better than me, I'm going to tell you that.
So like we said, there are all kinds of membership levels. So go to MaximumFun.org, click on donate, select that membership level that is right for you.
Swipe right or swipe left.
Swipe right, swipe left. Then you give us your credit card info. It'll be super safe. Some other basic information, specifically including which MaxFun shows you listen to. This one, right
yeah.
now, Wham Bam Pow,
Wham,
put
bam,
that one in there.
Let them know.
And then presto changeo, you're a member.
Mm.
Your donation will process automatically each month, so you don't have to do anything else unless the card expires or you decide to cancel, which you won't.
You will not.
Because you'll feel good.
You'll be like, wait a second, I think this is what I was put on this planet
this
to do.
This is what I'm supposed to do.
This is my density. I mean,
my destiny.
Boom. You know what I'm saying? See what I'm saying?
Exactly. So donate now while you're thinking about it, while you're listening to us. Go to MaximumFun.org, click on donate, and make the world a better place.
Do it right now, real quick. Talk to that.
So we're back to talk about a year in review, but real quick, it's Kate Hudson that's going to be
Kate
in that Richard Pryor movie.
Hudson.
David Goyer, involved in Man of Steel and the Batmans. David
Boom.
Ayer, not involved with Batmans. In he did Fury and a movie that we liked, End of Watch.
Yep.
I saw Fury. Not so much. So we'll see. We'll see. We'll see. I feel like his touch with End of Watch and also Fury, which I did not enjoy, would be good in a villain-centric film.
Okay.
So I'll leave it at that.
All
I think
right.
He's probably right for that.
Gritty.
Super gritty. Weird hair.
Yep.
Yeah. I mean, that's the Joker right there, weird hair. So we are reviewing the 1987 film RoboCop today, coming up after this segment. And it is a film that I hold near and dear to my heart. I would put it in my top 10, probably.
Ooh.
Probably put it in my top 10. Definitely my top 10 of, like, sci-fi action movies. Absolutely. Hands down, but not my right hand. That's a RoboCop joke. So I thought, because we're doing a movie that is, quote unquote, quite old, doesn't seem like it, but 1987 was almost 30 years ago.
I was 15 years old when I saw RoboCop.
I was like 20-something. Anyway, we'll get to that when we talk about RoboCop. So I thought for this, since it's an older movie, not out in the past couple of years, we might talk about the context in which this film came out.
I like it already.
So, Ricky, do you think that you could name the top grossing film of 1987? Do you think you could pick it out of a hat, out of thin air?
Man, the top movie of 1987?
Yes.
I'll take a guess that it was, let me see, 86 feels like it was a Lethal Weapon year.
Sure.
So maybe 87, was it Beverly Hills Cop 2?
Wow, you are really close. That is number three.
Damn!
That is number three.
I got really excited about that as I was saying
it. But, Ricky, that is a great pull. Also, Lethal Weapon is number nine.
Oh, damn! So I had my year off.
I feel like 1986 is probably Aliens.
Okay, it is Aliens. 1986 is Aliens.
I don't have it up right now because I had to take a picture of this. But number, I'll go 10 down. How about that?
That's perfect, perfect.
And then we'll do 11 up later.
Okay.
So number 10, The Witches of Eastwick.
Ooh, underrated movie, I believe.
Number 9, Lethal Weapon. Number 8, Stakeout.
Wow!
Number 7, The Secret of My Success.
Ooh!
Not the best Michael J. Fox movie.
Not at all.
Number 6, The Untouchables. That's a Wham Bam Pow movie.
Love The Untouchables.
Reviewed that. Really like that Sega Genesis game. Number 5... Moonstruck.
What?
Yes.
What was Moonstruck?
You don't know what Moonstruck is?
Oh, the
Cher?
God damn it.
Olympia Dukakis?
I thought moonlighting in my head.
Oh,
I was like,
yeah.
How the hell did...
No. Right. Moonstruck.
Moonstruck. Well aware. Yes, indeed.
Number 4. Good Morning, Vietnam!
Good Morning,
Vietnam!
Because,
of course. And number 3, as you guessed, Beverly Hills Cop 2.
Mm.
Number 2, Fatal Attraction.
Wow!
And I think that number 1 is going to blow your socks off.
I can't wait.
I'm going to quote the movie quick.
I'm going to close my eyes so I can
and see if you can get
transported
it. I'm
going to
do weird quotes too that you're not going to figure out what the movie is.
So am I supposed to if I know it do
if
I guess
it? If you know it from these quotes.
All right, I feel good.
More power to you.
Challenge.
one bottle please. One bottle coming up.
Nope.
Got it?
Not yet. I know what it is, though. Just because of how ridiculous it is. It's Crocodile Dundee 2.
Nope.
Crocodile Dundee 1.
Not it.
Damn it.
Nope.
All right, keep going.
You're cleaning that up.
Man.
And then I've got one more.
Okay.
It doesn't matter what you read. It's the tone you use.
I don't know.
And then I have one more, actually.
All right.
That's not a giraffe. It's a dinosaur. That's, Colin, what's his name? I can't think of any names tonight.
Colin,
so the movie
Colin
is
Hanks.
Three Men and a Baby.
Wow!
Three
I
Men
never would have guessed
and a
that.
Baby is the number one grossing movie of 1987, the same year that RoboCop came out.
Wow. Well.
Leonard Nimoy.
Hey, shout out to Leonard Nimoy.
Of Spock.
My man knew how to direct a movie, yo.
That is one of my favorite movies. I love Three Men and a Baby so much. I think because I'm an only child, only female child,
okay.
Apparently. I forget sometimes. And then also my parents were divorced forever. So I never had like a dad figure. And I would just watch that movie over and over again and have these like three dads.
I watched that movie. I was strictly because of the Goot. Steve Guttenberg.
Because of the Goot.
The Goot. I mean, he could not be stopped at that point. Police
I know,
Academy
it's so
movies.
Funny. And then you go back
Cocoons.
And you watch and you're like, oh, he's not the one. You know what I mean?
He's not the
it's
one.
It's so funny because, like, I mean, I think he's still great. And he was great on that episode of Party Down. I mean, he clearly is, like, just doing his thing.
Yeah.
But it's just so funny because so you think Steve Guttenberg in 1987 was the powerhouse of the movie?
Because
you also have Magnum P.I.
Yep.
And then you also have Sam.
Yeah, but those are
two. You have Sam Malone.
Yeah, those are TV guys.
Sure.
And that was before, that was when TV was like, you're the TV guys.
Right, yeah.
And Goot was, hey,
I'm Cocoon.
Yeah, exactly.
Although, wait, is Cocoon 88?
I don't know. Maybe he still had that one. It would have been. I mean, I didn't even drop Short Circuit on the people. Yeah. Come on, circuit. Now.
Is he also in Batteries Not Included? Is that Steve Guttenberg? Is that somebody else?
I don't think that's Steve Guttenberg.
Okay.
I don't think that's
Steve
Guttenberg.
Well, he's at least in Cocoon.
That might be just a straight up Hume Cronin.
Jessica Tandy joint. You're right. Oh,
man.
Remember when old people got to make movies?
Right?
I miss that time.
I mean, and
it was also the same time that old people got to make TV shows because Empty Nest was on, Golden Girls was on. Come on.
Yeah, and everybody out there, we're talking about old people. We're not
like
talking
geriatric
about
geriatric old people. Yeah, yeah. We're like not talking white about like hair.
Exactly.
Old people.
Yeah. Thank you.
That talked about prunes in a joking manner.
Yeah, exactly.
On Saturday night, no less. But I just think this is an interesting context for RoboCop to come out, because then if we go upwards from 10, mm-hmm. 11 is Dirty Dancing. I honestly cannot believe that Dirty Dancing is not higher up.
Yeah, totally.
Because also, I've rewatched Dirty Dancing a bunch of times. That movie holds up.
Does it?
It really does. It really holds up. And Lindsay, our producer Lindsay, is shaking her head in
agreement?
In strong agreement.
Oh, okay. Okay. All right.
And I think
she's like the wind.
That is the wrong guy. You're singing. Wait, no.
That's
I was
guy.
Singing. Yeah, you're right. I'm sorry.
That's the guy.
I was singing Don Johnson's heartbeat. I got real defensive. But that last dance scene to
great.
Oh, it's so good.
Fantastic.
It is so good.
Fantastic.
Number 12, Predator. Right?
I mean, come on now. How did I not, man, what a great year my life was where I had all of these movies.
But just get ready. Let me go through these.
Thank you.
Real quick. So, 12, Predator. 13, Throw Mama from the Train. Okay. Dragnet. 15, La Bamba.
Oh.
16, RoboCop. 17, Outrageous Fortune. 18, Broadcast News. 19, Ooh. The Living Daylights. 20, Eddie Murphy Raw.
Oh, wow.
And I have to mention 21 because 21 is Planes, Trains, and Automobiles.
That's how big Eddie a star was at that era. He had the top.
His special
is
one of the top grossing films of 1987.
And then he also had the number 3.
Yeah.
I mean,
holy shit.
He was running things,
he was
as
all
Cream
up in Corn that.
Would say.
Whew.
Man.
So. That's the year in review.
That was
Three Men and a Baby and Eddie Murphy, basically.
Solid.
All right. Well, we'll be right back with a review of 1987's RoboCop. You guys, it's Max Fun Drive. Max Fun Drive 2015. It's like Back to the Future Part 2, but with Max Fun Drive. You know what I mean? It doesn't make any sense, but I'm shoehorning Back to the Future Part 2 into everything,
it
including
makes
my wedding.
All the same.
Well, you guys, this time around, we have some super awesome gifts for you.
We stepped it up. We went other level this time, ladies and gentlemen. Other level.
So if you donate $5 per month, mm-hmm. you will get exclusive bonus content. And I personally can vouch for our exclusive bonus content, which is an awesome show.
It's a great
one. We're not going to tell you what movie we're reviewing.
Nope.
But it is the most divided we have ever been on Wham Bam Pow. So you have to donate $5 to find out what that is.
That is. That's the both ends of the spectrum.
Both ends. We had a 0 and we had a 5. We had a 0 and we had a 5.
You know what I'm saying? And
so
if you give us 5.
Yeah. Then you'll figure out who was the 5 on that one.
I got 5 on it.
You got it. And $10 per month, you get a super awesome tote bag. I guarantee you do not have enough tote bags. One nope. can never have enough tote bags.
I mean, especially if you do grocery shopping, no plastic
Which we
bags.
Know you do.
Plastic bags are illegal now. You gonna break the law?
Yeah.
Or are you gonna get it?
Are you gonna pay 10 cents every time?
Come on,
are you
now.
Gonna pay $10 a month?
Well, thank you
for this podcast to be awesome.
Thank you.
And have a tote bag.
Thank you.
And Ricky, if they donate $20 per month, what do they get?
This is when we start going to like future level. Like
yeah.
you get future products. You get a portable device charger.
What?
If you're a fool like me who leaves the house with their iPhone at like, I don't know, 65%, you're like,
sure.
I'll be fine.
I'll be fine for the day.
Yeah, cut to 3 hours later and you're choking an old woman. Give me your charger. Now we gonna give you one. You don't need to choke. You don't need to choke anybody for that. You also get a collapsible water bottle.
What?
It's gonna get hot.
It's collapsible?
It's collapsible. Am I saying that word
I think
right?
So you got it.
It doesn't feel right.
Yeah, no, yeah.
You know what I need though to make it right? a collapsible water bottle.
Yeah.
That would make
hydrate.
It right. Like, thank you. Thank you. You get antibacterial wet wipes.
I need those all the time.
All the time. Oh, I'm telling you, these are things that will make your life better. You know what else you get?
What?
Pilot wings.
Pilot wings.
Wings of a pilot.
See, you can't get those anymore because we're adults.
Yep. I'm going to give
you. We go on flights.
That's right.
But Max Fun knows what's up. It knows that all adults want in-flight pilot wings.
I'm going to give you a little Hollywood scoop. You know what happened with Harrison Ford? Didn't have his pilot wings.
He wasn't a member.
Was not a member.
If he would have been a Max Fun member, he wouldn't have crashed in Venice.
Thank you. Thank you.
And then for $35
per month. Let's say I wanted to pay $35 a month, Rhea.
You get a pair of Rocket Engrave shot glasses.
What?
They are gorgeous. I'm looking at them right now. And they will be perfect with your Rocket tumblers that you got last year, right?
Oh, the set will be complete.
It will be complete. And if you donate $100 per month, you will get membership in the Inner Circle, which is our monthly culture club.
Excellent.
Which is super awesome. And if you do $200 per month, we will personally come hug you. No, we won't. But you will get free registration for Max FunCon 2016, which I guarantee is going to be awesome because it's awesome every year.
Every year it's on point. It's every year.
I mean, you get so many amazing things. And these gifts are cumulative, too. So if you donate at $35 per month, you get the shot glasses. And you get the in-flight pack, and you get the tote bag, and you get the bonus content.
Collapsible water
bottle. It's collapsible. It is totally worth your money and your time.
Absolutely.
You get so many awesome things. That's and we nice. Already have somebody that's donating specifically for us at Tayrell713. Donated specifically to us just the other day. So if you want to get a shout-out, like at Tayrell713 is
shout
getting
out
right
to that
now
dude.
Twice.
What?
Donate to Wham Bam Pow, and it's super easy to do. All you have to do is go to MaximumFun.org, which you already do every day, I'm sure.
We're here waiting for you.
Click on Donate. Select the membership level that is right for you based on the fun stuff that you want to get. I suggest at least $35 because you get everything plus the shot glasses.
I think that's a great call, Rhea.
Give
great
us
call.
Thank you, Ricky. You give us your credit card info, some other basic information, and including which Max Fun shows, which would be Wham Bam Pow.
Wham Bam Pow.
And there
up
you
in
go.
This piece.
You're a member. And your donation will process automatically every month, and you don't have to do anything else unless the card expires or you decide to cancel, which you won't.
We know you're not going to.
We know you're not going to because we're going to keep making an awesome show with your help, and we appreciate you. We love you.
We love you, though.
You're all great.
We
specifically love at Tayrell713 the most.
Tayrell713, dude, it's like I don't have babies, but when I have a baby, I'm going to name one at. I'm going to name one Tayrell, and I'm going to name another one
713.
Dude. That's on you, yo.
All right, we are back for probably my favorite segment of the show. This is the time when we give you a brief review of a dick flick that's TM'd. We made it up. We probably didn't, but we use it the most.
Would it be a robo dick flick?
A robo dick flick.
A robo dick?
Robo dick.
A robo dick flick.
Robotic.
Ooh, I like that. I like that.
Nailed it. This week, we chose RoboCop, the original, which is on Netflix Watch Instant right now. And we are going to just talk openly about the movie. So if you haven't seen it and you don't want to get spoiled on it, there's really not anything to spoil in the movie. It's pretty easy to figure out how it goes. But anyway, it's from 1987 and you should watch it. So watch it and come back if you haven't seen it or just let us spoil it for you. Either way,
watch
you're going to have a great time.
Watch it and we're preemptive this. You're welcome.
Yeah.
You're welcome.
You will enjoy it. So RoboCop is directed by Paul Verhoeven.
Mm.
The amazing Paul Verhoeven, written by Edward Neumeier and Michael Miner. It stars Peter Weller, Nancy Allen, Dan O'Herlihy, Ronnie Cox, and Kurtwood Smith. Also, Miguel Ferrer.
See, my
God,
guy.
I love that dude.
My guy.
I love that guy so much.
He's great.
The first time I ever saw him in anything was in Blank Check. And I was like, I like the way that guy looks. I just like thought he's just so interesting.
Yeah.
We don't have character actors like that anymore.
He's a great that guy.
Yes.
You know?
Miguel Ferrer is like the original that guy.
Yeah. Like what? Like. Oh, yeah. He's
not the original.
Not the original, but he's on that list of when you see him. I remember when I saw Traffic and he actually has like a really good, like meaty, juicy part in that.
Yeah.
And he had been just that guy up until that point.
Yeah.
And then he shows up in Traffic and I was like, oh shit, he is killing it.
Yeah.
He's great.
I mean,
He's great.
He was cast in RoboCop, and then they rewrote the part for him.
Is that right?
Because he was so good at it. He was like, they made him a little bit more likable.
Yeah.
You know, where you're like conflicted.
What might be my favorite thing?
All right. Let's not spoil your spoilers.
Miguel Ferrer, he gone or he's still with us?
I think so.
He's still with us.
I don't think he's gone.
I feel like.
Now you're making me scared.
I'm sorry. Sorry.
So the plot from IMDb is, in a dystopic and crime-ridden Detroit, which is basically how it is.
Yeah, in Detroit.
Yeah. A terminally wounded cop returns to the force as a powerful cyborg haunted by submerged memories.
Mm.
All right.
Submerge the memories, yo.
So much more succinct than 2014's RoboCop plot, which I had to, like, break down because it was four paragraphs long. That was the short plot description.
That was great.
See, now, and that is, I'm glad that we're reviewing a reboot or a remake before we review the original, because now we can sort of, because we didn't hate the new RoboCop.
For sure. It's not, I don't think it's a bad
but
movie.
But watching this RoboCop in contrast to that one, rewatching it for, and we were just discussing how many times we'd think we'd seen it. I think I've seen original RoboCop at least 20 times.
At least 20 as well.
Because I've watched it with friends. It is a movie that I'll just put on.
For sure.
Because I just like the world that it is. And watching it so soon after this new one, now I see the mistakes that they made with the new one. Like, it's just, there's too many things going on.
Too much going on.
Too many balls in the air. And this movie, they're like, here's the villain. Here's the other villain. And we'll unfold, we'll like peel the onion back, and then you'll figure out what's going on. We'll introduce this, then this storyline's going to happen. We'll pop this thing back into that original storyline, then it'll all wrap up.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, instead of going one way, then the other way, then the other way, and just like everything, nothing
there's
comes
not,
back together in this new RoboCop.
For sure, yeah. Like there's so many little backstories happening in the remake, and in this one, it's a very tight movie.
Yes,
I mean it has like a cool intro, like Terminator 2, where just like boom, you know, and then the theme kicks in and you go.
And what's funny that you bring up Terminator is that since they're both Orion films, they use the Terminator theme in the trailer.
Oh, do they really?
Have you seen that?
I have not seen it in a long
after
time.
After we record this, go watch the trailer for RoboCop. It's the da-na-na.
That's hilarious.
And it goes dun-dun-dun-dun-dun, RoboCop. It is so bizarre.
That's great.
And then when you think about it, too, with like home video not being as accessible in 1987, I lived it. It wasn't as. So like if you went to see, the odds of you seeing Terminator and RoboCop might not be the same person. Back then, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, you might probably the same person, but you might not even remember that that was the song from Terminator because you probably didn't own it.
Because
it costs like $500 to own.
Absolutely. Yeah, this is back when VHS tapes cost $872 to
own. Yeah, and when you rented them, they came in a Samsonite luggage.
if you couldn't drive a car, if you couldn't drive it home, then you just didn't
rent
get it. You couldn't rent a movie.
Yeah, you had to have a credit card, a bank account, and a working vehicle to rent a VHS tape.
Oh,
I don't know
man.
If you had that, but you had to put like a deposit down.
Oh, for sure.
To
absolutely.
Rent videos.
Absolutely.
Stores.
I would have to explain this to my mom in Spanish, and she would have just like no concept of like why we haven't even gotten anything, and we're already giving them money.
Yeah,
it was so
it's
frustrating.
Crazy. So back to this specific RoboCop. A couple trivia things that I thought were pretty fun. Peter Weller couldn't wear the full suit when he's driving, so every scene that you see Peter or RoboCop driving, he's only wearing the top part of the suit and just underwear on the bottom. Because he couldn't actually fit everything in. So that's why there's so many shots of just his feet coming out of the suit or him, like, opening the door or, like, just getting out of the door. Because, like...
That's awesome.
They
He's
had to
free
film
balling
it all
it.
Separately, yeah. They also had to put an air conditioner in the suit because he was, like, hyperventilating and he lost, like, 30 pounds.
That I believe.
Because it was so hot.
It does not look like a comfortable suit at all. Would I rock it? Most definitely.
Absolutely. I
Most
would wear
definitely.
That thing.
Absolutely.
And speaking of rocking that little kid in Detroit like 5 years ago or 6 years ago that dressed up as RoboCop for Halloween. Do you remember that Robo kid?
Yes.
Oh, that was the best. And he's just like running around Detroit and they let him go in the cop car and stuff. Oh.
You want to prove to me you're a good parent? Get your kid the right Halloween costume.
Yeah.
Get your kid
and make it out of milk jugs.
I don't care if you hit your kid. I don't care. I don't care. My mom hit me and I'm fine for the most part.
I care. Don't hit your
kid. Minus the twitches. cut. You put your kid in a dope ass RoboCop suit, Batman suit.
Let your kid dress up as RoboCop. Don't let them watch RoboCop.
You know, I'd be okay with that too.
I was not allowed to watch RoboCop. It's also very funny to me that, I mean, it makes sense that this was marketed to kids.
Mm-hmm.
This is by no means a movie that kids can watch.
No.
I mean, Terminator, I watched it when I was very young. I just wasn't allowed to watch the sex scenes, which is very funny that I couldn't watch the natural part of the movie.
Yeah.
But all the other stuff, the blowing up and the faces melting off, totally fine.
That's the good stuff.
Yeah. And then, let's see, the ED-209, one of my favorite characters on film,
mm-hmm.
uses a jaguar for its growls.
Ooh.
And a pig for its squeals.
Oh.
And I love that it squeals when it falls over.
That's great.
It's such a great touch.
That's great. I always look forward to that moment.
So this movie has an 88% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Who are the 12 sons of bitches?
I know.
How dare you?
And it made $8 million in its opening weekend.
Is that right?
I did not adjust for inflation, so that's a lot of money in $87.
That is a lot of money.
I mean, that's got to be like a $30 million opening.
Yeah.
I would think.
I mean, I remember it being, it was a huge deal when it came out.
Yeah, I mean, I was five.
Was that right?
So I definitely didn't see it.
I saw it in the movie theater.
And I wasn't allowed to watch it or go near it. Because I wasn't allowed to like play with guns or watch gun movies or anything for a long time.
That was a no-brainer.
So that's what I was going to tell you earlier.
Mom, give me the money, Mom. Give me the money.
I didn't see it until it was on Hulu when I got like the pig flu or something in 2009.
Oh,
I didn't see this movie until 2009
because I wasn't allowed to see it.
And then everybody had already seen it, so nobody watched it. And then I watched it. I was like, this is the best movie I've ever seen.
Yeah.
Then I watched all three, and I like loved them all. And now I don't love them very much, but I do love the first one.
Yeah.
So,
do you own a copy? I own a copy, yes.
Okay. I own like a cheap copy. I need to get the Blu-rays and the, you know, Criterions and all that stuff.
I had the DVD Criterion. I'll look in a box for that. I'll let you borrow that.
Yeah, let me holler at that.
That Paul Verhoeven, fantastic commentary, wonderful accent that he speaks with.
Yeah.
Love it.
So, Ricky.
Love it. Yes.
What is your worst part, if you can find one?
Oh, man, the worst part of this movie? You know, I do... Oh, that movie's still, for as great as the effects look,
yeah,
and everything looks great, and it looks great in that this effect isn't that great. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
I still wish, like, that movie had, like, the Star Wars budget, or, you know,
like
some dope-ass
effects.
But
would you want it to get the Star Wars treatment and have, like, Jabba the Hutt be popped
no,
in?
No, I don't want that now. I don't want that now. But I do, I mean, it just... There is something about
and
it,
like Dick Jones, like walking over the tail of the ED-209, just like popping up like Han Solo so naturally does.
Oh, Dick Jones!
Robo shot first.
This is how nitpicky I'm being with it because I mean, it's...
well, when movies are great, you have to nitpick them to find something awful about
them. So that's I'm not crazy about that effect.
You mean all the green screening stuff? Because I feel like the matte painting in this film is beautiful.
Yeah, no,
it's really awesome to go back and see movies that utilize that. I mean, you absolutely can see that it's not real.
Yes.
But I think Paul Verhoeven does that a lot in his movies where he's like, yeah, I don't really want it to look real.
Yeah.
Also, the technology at the time wouldn't, you know,
for sure.
Allow for that.
And another example would be just kind of like the little bit of like hokiness of the scene where like the two dudes are like trying to like rape that girl in the alley. Just like, it just looks like kind of thrown together the way it's filmed. They put the camera in the corner. And that might have been what they're going for. I'm not a fucking filmmaker. How do I know? But,
I mean,
there's
she's
little
like,
things like that, like, take me out of the movie. Where
yeah,
I'm like,
she's like clearly wearing a wig in that scene.
Yes.
It's very bizarre. And I agree with you. I don't know if they nailed it. I will say this about that scene.
I am nitpicking here.
Absolutely.
People. Nitpicking.
What's funny is it evokes like the 70s, like the Warriors era of that being like of like sex crimes and like rape, threats of rape being like weirdly sexual and like trying to be like sexy or something. And then it like it almost is making fun of that for me a little bit. And like because... At the end of that, like, he shoots him in his crotch, which I think is amazing. And then when she, like, hugs him and is like, oh, thank you so much for saying, you know, whatever. And he's like, you have experienced extreme shock.
Yeah, yeah.
I will call a rape. I love that he says a rape trauma center.
Yeah.
Like, he actually says that, and that's what you should say. Like, I think that's amazing that he put that in there.
I always got that was like, he's like Dirty Harry. You know, RoboCop always felt a little Dirty Harry-ish, and that scene felt like Dirty Harry, Charles Bronson, Death Wish.
Yeah, they actually wanted to use...
It's getting handled right here.
Right.
No judge, no jury.
Yeah.
We're taking care of it. He's that guy.
Yes. They actually wanted to use, like, what if Dirty Harry was a robot or something like that, but they wouldn't let them put that in the tagline.
Oh, is that right?
Trademarked. Yes.
Interesting.
So it's very funny that you brought that up, because it's... clearly evoking Dirty Harry.
Right, totally. Totally. I definitely didn't think that when I was a kid and I saw it. I was just like, this is crazy. That dude just got shot in the dick.
Yeah. It was originally written that he was supposed to be shot in the cheek, but then Paul Verhoeven was like, no, no, no.
No, 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 no.
This makes more sense.
Yeah.
So I guess...
Paul Verhoeven is awesome.
Yeah, he is awesome. I felt so many stirrings of Starship Troopers in this movie also.
Yes,
especially
yeah.
with the locker rooms and the co-ed locker rooms.
Yeah.
And co-ed police and stuff. I was like, oh God, this is so great.
Yeah.
So my worst part, and
what's
again,
your worst part?
Oh, thank
Rhea.
You, Ricky.
You're welcome.
It's very hard to find a worst part in this movie, but I guess my worst part would actually be the fact that it was whittled down to avoid an X rating.
Mm.
So that would be my only worst part.
That's right. The version we watch. Is
not his, yeah.
Your boy, that Criterion.
That Criterion collection,
that Criterion, though.
No.
That
and
Criterion, though.
And you can see
no.
it so much in the, like, execution scene of
oh, yeah.
Murphy.
Oh, yeah.
That his hand is, like, underneath, you know, it's, like, cut off figuratively and literally in the movie. And, like, I've seen it. It's been a long time since I've seen that cut. But it always sucks to see something cut up.
Yeah.
For ratings and stuff.
Yeah. Especially when you see the stuff they do get away with.
It's oh, just like, for sure. Like I was saying right. about Terminator. Like So I can't see sex, but I can see all this crazy violence
sure.
stuff. It's like, what are we really... And also the difference between an X rating and an R rating. Like, what are we doing?
Mm-hmm.
Just
me,
watch the movie.
Yeah,
you know. But
we're
also talking about a completely different time when X ratings were still a thing. And then they finally changed it to NC-17 so that people weren't like, am I going to watch porn?
Mm-hmm.
It's a very funny world. But that would be my only worst part. And I mean, come on, the language is worse than seeing Murphy's hand blown off. And that scene is crazy.
There is some, when violence is done right, I mean,
yeah.
it's just like, oh man,
and
oof.
Well, let's get to our best
parts. Yeah,
parts.
Sorry.
So, no apologies. This movie is just so good.
It's great.
Because it is such a good commentary on, like, violence and, God.
Yeah.
Anyway, what's your best part, Ricky?
Oh, I mean, there's so many just great things. Right off, let's go with Miguel Ferrer.
Sure.
Because I don't know if he gets enough love in this movie. He gets love, but you know, when we talk about RoboCop, we always talk about RoboCop and we quote the lines. But
sure.
Miguel Ferrer in this movie, just a great 80s villain.
Yeah.
I mean, the movie is very much of its time, but that villain, I mean, he's still, you're kind of rooting for him
yeah.
as well.
That's what I mean about the rewrite, is that he straddles that line so perfectly of being like, well, you want him to succeed because
yeah.
you want to see the titular RoboCop
yeah.
happen, so he has to be good at it.
Yeah.
But then also, like, oh, he's terrible because he just took the, like, he got rid of the hand.
Yeah, he's
like, yeah. Oh, God damn it.
Yeah. And I love the, when he, RoboCop is walking down the aisle and he's like, this is for you. And he does that.
Yeah.
I do that with JB sometimes. Oh, it's great. He's fantastic.
Tastes like
it.
Baby food.
I love the training sequence when she keeps saying, yeah, oh, that's so great. What did she say? Target.
Target.
Is that right? Target.
Yeah.
Target.
Follow. Oh,
so great.
Yeah, I think about that all the time.
Right? Boddicker. Do you quote that line sometimes, Boddicker, when it's, the Tigers are playing tonight or some shit? Do you
oh,
say
yeah.
that?
No, I haven't
no?
seen that.
No, somebody says that around me, right? And when I heard it last night, I was like,
It's probably one of those Detroit dudes.
Oh, man, it's so great.
I never miss a game.
Oh, and RoboCop is great. They do a really great job of how they handle him missing his family. It's not
it's
like the forefront.
Enough.
It's exact. It's just enough.
Yeah.
When in the remake, it was too much for me.
Yeah.
In this one, it's just enough.
Well, they made
enough.
A decision to have the family be involved in the film. Mm-hmm. Whereas in this RoboCop, he's just talking about them. And then the only interaction we have is through his memories, which I think is an interesting, you know, I guess there was a deleted scene where RoboCop went back to the house and nobody noticed him or nobody recognized him but the dog that they had. And then Paul Verhoeven thought it was too sentimental.
Oh, okay.
So there you go.
Okay.
You know, I like that we are only accessing them in the same way that he is.
Yes.
You know, like
absolutely.
He is talking about them that he has a son. So, okay, he has a son. Maybe he has a wife, you know, and then when it comes back through the memories, it's the only way we're seeing him.
Yeah.
It's so much more effective that it's evocative of his family rather than being like, here's his family and they're really sad about it.
Yeah.
The new RoboCop is more like the second RoboCop than it is like the first RoboCop.
That's like Godfather 3 blocked off. I don't yeah. remember that.
Because she is actually involved, like the wife is involved in the second one. She shows up. In real life, yeah.
Wow.
She's like, what's happening? It's very,
wow.
The second one is very confused. It doesn't know what it's doing as much as the new RoboCop doesn't know what it's doing.
Also, here's something I did not notice. I can't believe, but I'm glad I found this nugget. When he gets, like, Omen stabbed,
yeah.
like, with the thing, that, like, yell that he lets out is very human.
Yeah,
it's almost like they adjusted like
sure.
the sound like makes like this is and I just thought that was really great because up until then I mean like the, he's like just has like the
robotic
voice
yeah.
yeah but when that comes through I was like I really was like oh shit that's
he's
really
he's still a person in
yeah.
there yeah
very well done
great choices all around
thank you
and then yeah
Rhea what was your best part of RoboCop
it is. I couldn't even write notes for this movie because I was like, how am I going to pick anything? I love this movie. Like I said, I'll just put it on and have the world on.
Mm.
I just, there's so much to like about it. But I would say, I think that the satire in this movie is like 100% on point. It is one of the most effective satirical movies I think I've ever seen. It nails everything from like bureaucracy to union busting
mm-hmm.
to like dystopian future to drug culture to, you know, like corporate BS. Like
yeah.
everything that they tackle, they nail. Nothing comes in that doesn't go back out
yeah.
in this movie. And in that way, it's like Back to the Future. There's nothing in it that you don't need. All the extra stuff isn't just extra. They talk about it. There's sexism. There's like, just like everything in this movie makes sense. And it's also like Paul Verhoeven's other movie, Total Recall, is like an existential exercise. And there's also some Jesus metaphors in there.
Most definitely.
There's so many things in this
Most
movie
definitely.
To grab onto. It's really hard to nail it down to just one. And then I also really like all the model work. Like, just trying to think of how they did that. We've progressed so far. Like, now I forget how special effects used to be done. And I love seeing those real things, like seeing the real ED-209
yeah.
running around and walking around. And also, the ending is so satisfying. He just kills him, and that's it.
Yep.
And then, bam, you know, it's like so great. There's no meandering. That's all we needed. That's all we got. I love it.
It's fantastic.
Also,
well said.
Dick Jones calls himself Iron Butt in this movie. And I did not notice that until I watched it this time for this show. So there you go.
You know what? I said Eddie Murphy had the two top 20 movies or two movies in the top 20.
Yeah.
So does old boy Ronnie Cox here.
Oh,
Ronnie
yeah?
Cox is in RoboCop. Ronnie Cox is the fucking main plot motivator in
Beverly Hills Cop 2.
Yeah.
Right.
He goes back to Beverly Hills because Ronnie Cox got
Ronnie
shot.
Cox.
Shout out to
Ronnie Cox. All up in the late 80s.
Great, great
sure.
character actor. Great
so,
character actor.
Ricky, on a scale of $1 to $5 with which you might buy this, how many dollars with which you might buy this do you give it?
I would buy this with five.
$5.
$5 I would pay. A dollar
yeah.
for that RoboCop, my boy. Making me like the police again and shit.
Yeah. One of the trivia points is that Nancy Allen showed up her first day on set. They were filming the show that quote is from. And she was like, what did I sign up for?
That's great.
I think is really funny.
That's really great.
So me, on a scale of 1 to 5 iron butts, or sayonara, RoboCop. I love that line. I give this 5 iron butts for sure. I mean, there's not a bad part in the bunch.
Yeah.
There's some weird gay stuff at the end of it, but it's all the villains, so I understand why they would be saying that.
Yeah,
so,
they're terrible people.
So, Ricky, what are you leaving everybody with?
You know what? Thanks to everybody. I don't know if anybody came to the show in Aspen, but regardless, I did a show in Aspen this past weekend, and it was great, so whoever was there or anything, fantastic. Have you heard that new Kendrick Lamar?
Not yet.
Because that new Kendrick Lamar is out.
But I've been seeing everybody talking about how great it is.
It is. I'm so glad we got a new Kendrick Lamar album. But he's got this song called These Walls.
Yeah.
That is on point.
I will check it
out. On point. If these walls could talk. Mm. I mean, there's a lot of funk in the album. Kendrick, what he did was he started it off with the Sly and the Family Stone quote.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like a cover of a song, of a Sly and the Family Stone cover song. And then George Clinton shows up.
Oh, boy.
And then Thundercat shows up. And the dude who I was yelling about not that long ago. So you put all that on your first track in like the first minute.
Whoa.
That's serious. Come on now.
Yeah.
And then he's got this song that Pharrell produced called All Right. That is...
I'm sure it's dope.
Oh, girl, you don't even know.
I don't even know because I haven't heard it yet.
Oh, well, y'all come over to my house and we'll have a listening party and break some shit.
All right, let's do it.
Word.
So I will leave you guys with something.
Yeah, what would you like to leave us with?
Oh, thank you, Ricky.
You're welcome.
That everyone else is talking about, everyone that's not talking about Kendrick Lamar. I watched the last episode of The Jinx last night. It was the first episode that I watched was the last one because I already knew the real world stuff. So I was like, I'll just watch it. And because I watched it with some friends and I thoroughly enjoyed it. And then I went back and watched all of it today. And man, am I conflicted about that whole thing.
Mm.
It's very odd. It's very strange. I just before I came in to record the show, tweeted a photo of Robert Downey Jr. in Natural Born Killers because, number one, he looks like Andrew Jarecki in that. And then it also just reminded me of that character, like, actively following. It is so weird. And I can't recommend it enough to watch. It's so bizarre that it's happening in real time. So weird. I don't know what else to say about it.
Off the air, I would love to have a conversation with you about it because I haven't watched anything from the show, but what you're saying is kind of what's keeping me away from it.
Sure,
so
yeah.
I'm interested to talk to you about it.
It's a well-made documentary, and I think it. You know, he made Capturing the Freedmans.
Yep. I haven't seen it. I heard that's great.
It is. So, I mean, it's well-made.
Okay.
I recommend watching it because of that reason. But anyway, so you guys, I don't know. So next week we'll be doing our live show.
Yes.
And then you'll get to listen to that. Yeah.
What's today's date? It's the 16th.
So next week we'll be doing our live show.
I'm smart. I know how to add.
Look forward to that. And until next week, I'm Rhea Butcher.
I'm Ricky Carmona.
And you've been listening to Wham Bam Pow. Wham Bam Pow is recorded at Maximum Fun headquarters by Lindsay Pavlis. Thank you, Lindsay, and Maximum Fun, and thank you for listening. Next week, we will be watching Total Recall, which is on Netflix Watch Instant, and we will be recording it live at UCB Franklin at 11 p.m. on Monday, the 23rd. See you there, guys.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Listener supported.